human connection has become even more digital in 2021 due to social distancing measures and other pandemic precautions. Despite or perhaps because of this major shift, personal and professional networks have arguably become more important than ever before. So how can we reap the benefits? In the new book, Social Chemistry, Decoding the Patterns of Human Connection, Marissa King, a pioneer in the field of networks and social relationships, reveals how the quality and structure of our real-life network have the greatest power to transform our life and strengthen our relationships. King has studied what people's social networks look like, how they evolve, and why that's significant, and has been for the last 15 years. She demonstrates how you can apply her many years of cutting-edge research and insights to your own life, and we welcome Marissa King to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate having you here.
It's my pleasure.
So how did the book come to be? When did you start to think of this as social chemistry?
A long time ago, decades ago and far before the pandemic. And much of it came from my own experience in the sense as I was transitioning into my professional life, I kept hearing again and again that you need to get out, you need to go to professional mixers, you need to be meeting people. But what I knew as a scientist based on decades of research is that was really misguided advice. It's not how many people we know that matters. It's the quality and structure of our social relationships. And that really propelled me to think about how to allow people to begin to understand the power that exists within their current networks and how to make the most of it.
You are a professor of organizational behavior at the Yale School of Management and teach a course called Managing Strategic Networks. So let us parse those words for a moment. Talk about what you mean when you talk about networks, and especially what a strategic network is, and then we'll get into the managing part.
Sure. When we think about our networks, really, our networks are just the traces of interaction that we have on a day-to-day basis. It's the interaction, brief interaction you had with a stranger at the coffee shop, and your more enduring relationships with your friends, family, and colleagues. And all of us have networks, and they're arguably one of the greatest resources we have. But we rarely take the time to look at them with intentionality or purpose. So if you ask yourself, how important do you think your network is for your professional goals or your personal success? And then how much time do you spend actively developing and cultivating it? For the vast majority of people, there's a huge gap. And there are lots of reasons that there's this resistance to looking at it. And in part, there's a moral resistance. We know actually that even mentioning the idea of being strategic about a relationship makes people feel dirty and want to wash their hands.
Yeah.
So there's a moral resistance to this. But in reality, we all have networks. And it's really critical to understand how they work because it has huge implications for our health, our well-being, and our professional success. So the strategic part of that is a call for people to be more intentional about thinking about their relationships and what they can do to help cultivate them, not just only for their own benefit, but also for the benefit of others.
When you look at, I mean, obviously, you've been working on this, as you mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, you've been working on this for a long time. So how does the pandemic affect this professional social connections? Because we're isolated much more than we've probably ever been in our lives.
The isolation has had a lot of effects on our networks. And the biggest effect it has had is on our acquaintance network, the outer ring of relationships, the people that we don't purposely keep in touch with and we may not see on a regular basis. The size of that network has shrunk by close to 17% on average. There are close to 250 people. But what's interesting is the vast majority of that shrinkage is due to a reduction in the size of men's networks. So men's networks have shrunk by almost 30%, but women's networks have hardly shrank at all. And what this finding really highlights is the importance of thinking about how we use our time. So it's not that women have invested more time in maintaining their relationships. They just spend that time differently. And so it's really a call to think about how are we actually spending our time with respect to relationships and what can we do in order to more effectively maintain them at a time when we're so isolated and so many people are struggling with loneliness.
So When it comes to the negative impact and of these diminished social networks, what have you seen?
The biggest negative impact with one is an increase in loneliness across the board.
Right.
A second really important impact that may be less obvious is that the reduction in the size of that acquaintance network, people you don't regularly reach out to, is reducing the amount of new information that's coming to you. And this is particularly important, for instance, for people who are looking for a new job. Unemployment's also a huge issue right now. And we know that jobs that are found through this part of our acquaintance network, they're found faster, they lead to better jobs, and they lead to higher pay and even higher job satisfaction. So and this really is a result of it's our acquaintances that provide us with new information. Our closest ties, our closest friends, the colleagues we talk to every day, they don't have as much new information to bring to us and share with us. And so the reduction in this ability to interact with people we don't see that often is impeding our information flow. So whether it's looking for a job or trying to have new ideas or more creativity in your work life, that's what's taking the biggest hit during the pandemic.
When you think of, I mean, one of the things I said in the introduction is how we reap the benefits here. So how do we look at this shift and say, okay, this is a shift that so much of our life has changed. So we're trying to figure out what is going to be permanent and what is going to be temporary. So as we try to figure that out, and God only knows, but as we try to figure that out, what can we look at and say, okay, well, this is something I would like to add to my utility belt?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one of the silver linings is realizing what are the positive benefits of this contraction in our acquaintance network. And in part, that's happened because it's a natural adaptation to what we need. We really essentially have a fixed amount of time that we can devote to our relationships. So we often choose, whether consciously or unconsciously, are we going to spend that with people we don't know as well, or are we going to invest more in building deeper, more meaningful relationships with the people that we're already close to and strengthening those ties? And for the majority of people, they're actually spending more time focusing on those closer connections. We know that people who have five or more very close friends or family that they've been able to call on haven't experienced any negative emotional consequences of the pandemic, that they're actually receiving a profound amount of social support. And so during this time of isolation, one of the benefits is we're seeing a strengthening, actually, of our most important relationships. And that's something they think that we'll carry forward. And another benefit is just being cognizant about how important our relationships are. Arguably, when you take something away from people, it heightens the understanding of just how important that is, both with our professional lives, but also our personal lives. And I think moving forward, we're likely to be much more intentional and reflective about our relationships and pay more attention to them because the loss has been so significant.
For you, in studying this, is it how significant have things changed? Is this a radical shift in the social chemistry, or is this just a blip?
I think it's a pretty radical shift, and it's going to be a pretty radical shift, particularly if people aren't attentive to the downside consequences. We know that when our network experience major changes, and there are lots of different changes that we experience sometimes in the course of normal life. For instance, having kids is like falling off a social cliff. Your network profoundly changes in a way that's actually not beneficial after having kids. It gets much smaller. The same is true after other crises that we've seen in the past, like Hurricane Katrina. And the issue is that that network contraction has a long-term consequence, that we lose relationships really, really fast if we don't consciously reconnect. And so in the coming months and in the coming years, it's going to be more important than ever to reconnect with people that we may have lost touch with. Otherwise, in decades, we're likely to experience even more significant consequences. As we know, for instance, loneliness becomes really a problem, particularly later in life. And so addressing the problem now is going to be really important, both to our physical health and our mental health and well-being.
You talk about expansionists, brokers, and conveners in the book. Give us an idea of these three major social categories and why they're important.
Everyone has a network signature because we're all faced with a certain set of trade-offs. And so most people can be categorized as an expansionist, a broker, and convener. Conveners have networks in which their friends tend to be friends with one another. They tend to favor these deeper ties and stronger social connections. They, in part, build these networks because they don't like uncertainty. They, for instance, don't like changing plans at the last minute. And that type of network is imbued with a lot of trust, a lot of reciprocity, and provides a lot of emotional support. A second type of network that is quite different are brokers. Brokers tend to straddle different social worlds. They may have unusual career paths. There's a type of person that's a social glue at a party. They connect, for instance, they may connect your marketing division and your engineering division. And by bringing together groups that don't normally talk to each other, whether that's in their personal or professional lives, brokers tend to be innovative, they tend to be creative, and they also tend to have more work-life balance. And the final type are conveners, and conveners have extraordinarily large networks. You can figure out whether or not you're an expansionist that have extraordinarily large networks. And you can figure out whether or not you're an expansionist by asking yourself, how many people do you know named Adam? How many people do you know named Emily? And if you know one of each of those, your network hovers around 650 people. But if you know more, you're likely an expansionist. And knowing a lot of people gives you access to new information. It gives you a lot of influence and an opportunity to create positive social change. And there's no necessarily one network type that's best or right. They change through our network type changes throughout our careers. But the key is to try to figure out what is the most useful type of network for meeting the current need you have, whether that's a personal need or a professional need.
And that is what I found so fascinating in the book is, you know, we try, I think a lot of us try, probably unsuccessfully, but we try to have some disconnect between personal and professional. Although with these networks, the overlaps are inevitable, right?
They're not inevitable. Right in this current moment, I think it's more difficult to keep them separate. And one of the things I hope to draw attention to is we do have some choice about how to the extent normally that our professional and our personal relationships overlap. And it's important to be really reflective and careful about how you're investing your time across those relationships and also understanding what your preferences are. Some people like to keep them apart, and that actually helps promote more work-life balance. But by bringing them together, you have less identity conflict, you have less role conflict, and it also takes less time. So there are certain trade-offs, but the key is to be conscious about whether or not you're making those decisions and whether or not that's helping you achieve whatever goal you need in that moment.
You just said the key phrase of what kept on popping into my mind as I was reading the book, that you have to be conscious of. And as I was reading it, I thought I found myself being overly conscious of it and almost obsessive about it. I mean, that's a danger too, right? You can overthink this.
It's true. And the dangers of overthinking social relationships are clearly evident. Most people have had this experience where they've been in a conversation and then they walk away and spend the next 15 minutes thinking about, like, how did that go? Did I come off across the right way? Did I say the right thing? And what we know is that this is really common. I called in the research a liking gap. And the truth is people like us far more than we think they do in those conversations. And this is true again and again. And what we see is that we're actually come across and are really adept at social interaction. And overthinking, and particularly a focus on oneself, can be one of the greatest obstacles to being able to truly connect with another person. So overthinking can also have its pretty serious downsides.
Okay. I like how you think. I just know that I'm still going to think that the person hated me.
I promise they don't.
just my assumption, but I'm in therapy and working on it. Marissa, don't worry. The new book is Social Chemistry: Decoding the Patterns of Human Connection. The book is published by Dutton. It is a fascinating read. I thank you very much for sharing with us this morning, and I wish you the happiest of New Year's.
Thanks for having me on.
Be well. Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is Social Chemistry: Decoding the Patterns of Human Connection. The book is published by Dutton. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.